As Jenny was doing a study, she came across this particular video, and it just happens to be today's reading, and it was very exciting, just happened, so we couldn't not put it in. Jonathan Rumi happens to be the guy who plays Jesus in the Chosen, and that series for all those who watch it, and he's very good. So we've got him as a guest reader today. Thank you, Andrew, for doing that video clip. And what I want you to do is just ignore what he's got on his T-shirt. That's not what this is about. Just shut your eyes. Don't worry about that. Just listen to him speaking when you're ready.
From the Gospel of John. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, amen. Amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this flesh, this bread, will live forever. These things he said while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And many of his disciples who were listening said, the saying is hard. Who can accept it? Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, for this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father. As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, Do you also want to leave? Simon Peter answered him, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced you are the Holy One of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
May your word live in us. So Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel together at Shechem. It looks like Shechem, but I looked up the how to pronounce it. Shechem. Can I have the first? There we go. Can you see where that is? I got a pointer. There's Shechem. There's Jericho and Jerusalem. Mount Ephraim in the middle. Mount Gilead and Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. All of these are important. Just up from Shechem is Samaria. Up here is the Lake Galilee. Last month when I took it, I made a description of how the disciples went around Lake Galilee, and Jen said I should have had a map. Well, there's a map. I'll just pop that down there for the moment. He called the elders. Here we go. Modern day, it's called Tel Balatar. Now, Shechem was an ancient city situated on the floor of a valley near its entrance and near it between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, forming respective walls. Can I get the second map? There it is. The contour of the land resulted in a natural amphitheatre, and the acoustics were so good that the human voice could get carried exceptional distances. And Shechem was a place of rich history for Israel. At least four notable events were there in the lives of patriarchs Abraham and Jacob. In the first two instances, Shechem was a place of calling and commitment, and in the second two, a place of shame. In the first one, Abraham came to the promised land and first camped at Shechem. And there God appeared to Abraham and confirmed his promise. And Abraham built an altar to the Lord there. That's in Genesis 12, 6-7. When Jacob came back to the promised land, he first camped at Shechem. He purchased land at Shechem and built an altar there, calling the place El Elohi Israel, God, the God of Israel. Genesis 33, 18-20. And in two not so wonderful events, thank you. Getting old. Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, deceptively lured the men of Shechem into a massacre. And then in the fourth one, in a season of recommitment to God in Jacob's life, God told him to go to Bethel. Jacob did so, and commanded all in his household to put away their idols, and Jacob buried them at a terebinth tree near Shechem. So those are the four, that's a bit of history. So now Joshua has them there. So as they established the promised land, there is a history already, before Egypt, before the Passover. Speaking through Joshua, God linked the ancient city of Israel, all the way back to Abraham, to their recent history in the desert and what God had done among them in their own lifetime. But the line in the sand and the key verse, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But, the contrasting word but gives the sense that Joshua was determined on this course, no matter what. His relationship with God was not based on any man, but on the Lord alone. And he would serve God no matter what anyone else did.
Jesus later expressed the same kind of warning, explaining that following him took total commitment. And it's not that Jesus didn't want followers, but he didn't want lip service. He didn't want lightly made and easily broken promises. And that brings us to today's gospel reading, and thank you, Jonathan Rumi, for reading so well. The people who Jesus had just wowed when he fed 5,000 people, plus women, plus children, followed him from there to Capernaum. And Jesus knew that many of them were just after a free meal. And they were shocked when Jesus said they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Jesus questioned back to them, "Does this make you want to give up?" Could also be interpreted as, "Are you scandalized by this?" Drinking any animal blood, much less a human's, was horrific and repulsive to the Jews. And it isn't much different now, to be fair. Jesus was referring to the spiritual, and we take the flesh of bread and blood being wine. This type of teaching is hard to understand for someone who hasn't grown up in the Christian church and can still be confronting even now. It seemed to be the crowd that had followed him was a little bit of a problem, and Jesus had to confront them to regain control of his mission. Seemed pretty effective, as most of them, or probably all of them, left grumbling, saying, "This teaching's too hard." But when they eventually clear, he turns to his 12, turns to his faithful ones. "Would you also like to leave?" Which echoes Joshua, asking the tribes of Israel to choose who they follow. And Joshua led by saying, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Peter replies on behalf of all of them, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. And now we believe and know that you are the Holy One who has come from God." So that's a line in the sand moment, and his closest stood rock solid with him. So where will we find ourselves in this narrative? Are we the disciples who turn and leave when things get a bit hard? Or those who, with Peter, confess that Jesus is the one, the only one, with the words of eternal life? Maybe our natural inclination is to turn and leave, to avoid the difficult call, to avoid the cross. And yet, the Word, the Spirit and the Father continue to call us, continues to enlighten us, and continues to draw us to life. It's an internal battle for most of us. We'll come across many trials during our lives, times when it feels a lot easier to just go with the crowd or do the least easiest and least objectionable thing, rather than make a stand and resist the popular option because it goes against our faith. The disciples who stuck with Jesus went on to change the world forever because they learned from Jesus that being faithful matters more than being successful. The real food and drink Jesus refers to is spiritual, and we get it by communing with him and enacting out our faith. That's the real food and drink. So we're going to continue that message now in the words of our next song, which is "Real Food, Real Drink."